Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is Haunted Haze.
Yes, we have been gone for a minute and it feels so good to be back.
Yes, it does feel good to be back. We've been in the darkness.
Yeah, unfortunately, at the end of last year, our dog Zeppelin passed away.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard him in the background.
Yeah, making noises or, you know, driving us nuts or
being
whatever,
mischievous some way.
We loved him so much, and it was a sudden death, and it just really put a dark cloud on the end of the year, which kind of led us just not really having interest in trying even to do the podcast.
Yeah, but then a few people like reached out to us and was like, "Hey, like,
yeah, right.
When are you guys going to come out with more episodes? Right. Like, I found your podcast," and
that's awesome. It's amazing. So we were like, we have to at least do a few more episodes. And what better time, because
it is officially spooky season.
It's spooky season.
I mean, it's this coming Saturday is October 1st, and it's prime time for us.
Yes,
yeah,
it's the best time of the year, right?
We're pretty busy all October, you know. I mean, we are going to haunted houses, you know, we have our movie marathon.
We're already buying decorations. You know, we're just getting in the mood.
We get roped into Michael's and all of those Halloween decorations every year. They're just so good. We can't pass them up.
I'm sure the people listening love it too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, at this point, like, we take Halloween so seriously and we do our house all up, as you guys have heard us talk about before. But now it's like we need to set the theme, like, really start, like, pulling the theme together with something. You know what I mean? So we, like, have a haunted pumpkin patch theme.
Oh, yeah, the haunted pumpkin patch. So it's just pumpkins and ghosts in the graveyard,
right? We've spent like the last, I don't know, 5-6 years collecting pumpkins.
Yes.
Like, we have so many pumpkins and we love it. So that's like been our thing. So it's so fun to evolve, and like, it's so cool that we're coming back to do the podcast for the spooky season.
Yes,
it just,
I'm
it
so
fits
excited.
Right in.
So also every October, we like to watch a scary movie every night, right?
Yeah. So we've been doing this for... You've been doing it forever, but I feel like we've really made it like a family tradition the past like 3 or 4 years. And so we are going to share our like weekly movie picks with everybody.
Right. And each night has a theme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to do a theme for each night. But we would love to hear your suggestions or what your favorite horror movies are. And if you want to follow us on our social medias, you can also follow along with what, you know, movie we're watching each night.
Yeah, so let's go through the themes.
All right, so the themes are...
It's Monster Mondays. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Then we have Terror Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Werewolf Wednesdays.
Werewolf. Oh, my favorite.
Bloodthirst Thursdays. Yeah.
Frightening Fridays.
We have Slasher Saturdays.
A.K.A. Splatter Day.
And then finally, we have Supernatural Sunday.
Yes. So for fun, each night we watch a scary movie, right?
Yeah. So the worst part is there's too many movies.
There's so many movies.
It's so hard to pick them. And, you know, there's going to have to be double features.
Right.
So the hard part for me is I want to throw in movies that are not horror movies.
Right.
Into the mix.
You gotta throw in like the fun family Halloween movies.
Yes, right? Like Hocus Pocus. But then there's also like The Craft.
Right.
And stuff like that.
That's when I think of Frightening Fridays.
I know.
Where we should do this.
That's the thing. Is Frightening Fridays is, I feel like, definitely gonna be more of my selection.
Okay.
But I have too many.
Yeah.
How am I gonna narrow it down?
Just did. I'm sorry. But like we've always said, we'd love to hear from everybody else. What's your favorite Halloween movies?
Yes.
Like, I want to hear stuff that I've seen a lot of movies, so you're probably not going to surprise me, unfortunately. But I would love to hear, like, you know.
I'm not going to lie. I don't want to know those movies that I've never heard of. Because I am a chicken.
Oh.
And so, like, if it's a movie I've never heard of, it's probably very graphic, like, gory.
Yeah.
And are just real hard to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not my alley.
Yeah, Splatter Day is your alley, right?
That slasher movies, I do love that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
That's blood and guts, though.
I know, but it's still... it's beloved. Beloved! Like, when I watch Jason movies and Michael Myers, like, those are, like... Those are just such classics that it's really hard to narrow it down to... I think that there's maybe 5 Saturdays in October. This Saturday is October 1st.
Right.
So, I think there's 5 Saturdays. So, we're starting off with Slasher. That's awesome.
All right. So, I guess that solves the mystery of what we've been up to and, you know, what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Which is perfect for this episode because we're going to talk about mysteries.
Yep. I love a good mystery.
Now, there's so many mysteries. There's, you know, there's so many. There's so many theories, conspiracy theories, things, you know, disappearances, all kind of things. So, this isn't the best or this isn't all of them. This is just some of our favorites, right?
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. I mean, like, we're just kind of skimming over the, you know, creepy mysteries that are out there in this world.
Right.
Because this world literally is filled with them.
This is the kind of thing that keeps you up at night.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I love a good unsolved mystery.
Unsolved mystery. Who doesn't love a good unsolved mystery? But that's kind of what's frustrating about them a little bit, is the fact that they are unsolved.
Right.
You know, like, it kind of leaves you unsatisfied a little bit, right?
Well, I'm curious to hear what your explanation of some of these are.
Oh, okay.
Or if you can come up with one.
Yeah.
I like to always try to think of a plausible answer for things.
Oh, yeah. Just the scientific facts.
Even, like, when scary things have happened to us, in the back of my mind, I'm trying to debunk it.
I don't know. See? I'm kind of a little bit of the opposite. Like, I really do just kind of believe it. I'm just like, yep, I guess it was a ghost. And you're like, no, it was the wind. It blew off the oak tree.
Even that time the shower turned on at night, I'm like, maybe it's a plumbing issue. It's the water
pressure. Yeah. So I'm totally... Turn the knob. I heard the knob turning. Yeah.
It was wet when I checked it out. Definitely didn't dream it.
Ooh.
See? That was scary right there.
Let's talk about them ghosts.
All right. Let's stop talking about ghosts, maybe. Let's talk about some mysteries.
That's
why
we got our sage. We got our Palo Santo. Yep. We got our crystals.
Yeah.
We're getting prepared. We're getting ready because we want to keep all the dark energy away from us, right?
For sure.
So you know what the show is about. So grab your favorite spirit. Pick your favorite poison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And let's get ready to have a haunted haze.
Yeah.
Taking a tequila shot?
Yeah,
tequila shot. Yeah.
What are you drinking? Some wine?
Yeah. My glass is empty.
Ooh, it burns every time.
You didn't do that. That's how you know it's a good drink.
Yeah, I just chased it with Natty Light.
How high class of us.
Yeah, thoroughbred. White trash.
Anyway, let's get into some mysteries.
Let's talk about the ones that really creep us out, right?
All
right. This is actually probably maybe one of my favorite mysteries.
Oh, okay. Starting off strong.
Yeah, the incident at Ditlov Pass.
Okay.
On the first night of February 1959, 9 ski hikers died mysteriously in the mountains of what is now Russia. The night of the incident, the group set up camp on a slope, enjoyed dinner, and prepared for sleep. But something went catastrophically wrong because the group never returned.
Dun, dun, dun.
On February 26th, searchers found the hikers' abandoned tent, which had been ripped open from the inside. Surrounding the area were footprints left by the group, some wearing socks, some wearing a single shoe, some barefoot, all of which continued to the edge of the nearby woods. That's where the first two bodies were found, shoeless and wearing only underwear. The scene bore marks of death by hypothermia, but as medical examiners inventoried the bodies, as well as the other 7 that were discovered over the months that followed, hypothermia no longer made sense. In fact, the evidence made no sense at all. One body had evidence of blunt force trauma consistent with a brutal assault. Another had third-degree burns. One even had been vomiting blood. One was missing a tongue, and some of their clothes were found to be radioactive. Theories floated included KGB interference, drug overdose, UFOs, yeah, gravity anomalies, and the Russian version of the Yeti. I'm leaning UFOs and Yeti.
I'm leaning UFOs and KGB.
Recently, a documentary filmmaker presented a theory involving a terrifying but real phenomenon called infrasound, in which the wind interacts with the topography to create a barely audible hum that can nevertheless induce powerful feelings of nausea, panic, dread, chills, nervousness, raised heartbeat, and breathing difficulties.
Well, that doesn't explain the third-degree burns.
Well, the only consensus remains that whatever happened involved an overwhelming and possibly inhuman force.
I agree. I mean, it seems real fishy.
Yeah, I mean, how crazy is that? Like, how it sounded like they were fighting something. It's almost like they went to war with, you know, something. They were, like, fighting Bigfoot or aliens. It's right. Crazy.
I'm glad I wasn't there. I hate the cold as it is.
Right. You wouldn't be out there anyway, right?
Yeah. Right. Camping in the cold wilderness? F that.
Well, you know me. I always lean UFOs, so.
Yeah, but the radioactivity makes sense. Like, or the KGB interference because of the radioactivity, like...
What do they have that's radioactive? They're not ninjas. Like, I mean, or what... Ninjas.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to say this at the risk of sounding dumb. I'm going to say this at the risk of sounding dumb, but I guess that I have some correlation between Russia and radioactivity.
Fair enough.
Anyway, let me hit you with one of my mysteries. Ghost ship, the Mary Celeste.
Ooh, I love a good ghost ship story.
On December 4th, 1872, a British-American ship called the Mary Celeste was found empty and adrift in the Atlantic. It was found to be seaworthy and with its cargo fully intact, except for a lifeboat, which it appeared had been boarded in an orderly fashion. But why? We may never know, because no one on board was ever heard from again.
Wow.
In November of 1872, the Mary Celeste set sail from New York, bound for Genoa, Italy. She was manned by Captain Benjamin Briggs and 7 crew members, including Briggs' wife and their 2-year-old daughter. Supplies on board were ample enough for 6 months and luxurious, including a sewing machine and an upright piano. Commentators generally agree that to participate the abandonment of a seaworthy ship, some extraordinary, alarming circumstances must have arisen.
Right.
However, the last entry on the ship's daily log reveals nothing unusual. The inside of the ship and all appeared to be in order.
Wow.
Theories over the years have included mutiny, pirate attack, and an assault by a giant octopus or sea monster. In recent years, scientists have posed...
Of course. Sea monster. That's what it had to have been. You go out too far on the waters.
I think if it was... I just have to say this. If it was a attack by a sea monster, I think that the ship would show signs of damage. I don't think that those people would see a sea monster and then hop into a little tiny rescue boat and go out on the fucking ocean out there with the sea monster. Yeah.
Let's get off this big boat and get a smaller boat.
Yeah, that'll trick them.
Aliens.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Anyway, the scientists pose a theory that the fumes from alcohol on board caused an explosion that, as a result of scientific anomaly, did not leave behind signs of burning.
Oh, wow.
Has that ever happened before?
That sounds like some crazy girlfriend talk. Like, the alcohol caught the house on fire.
But you can't tell.
There's no telling.
But it did burn up that letter.
He burned up all the letters. It burned up all my money.
But terrifying enough is that Briggs ordered everyone into a lifeboat.
Wow.
So the captain ordered everybody into a lifeboat, but didn't log on to anything. Why?
Yeah.
Or alert. When did, 1872, did they have radios on boats back then?
Oh. I don't think so. No. I won't go with that.
Definitely. When did the Titanic happen? Like 1912?
1912, I think.
Okay, so that's like a good 40 years later. Yeah, so I guess that could be a big difference.
Yeah. But even the fact that it was a luxury ship, come on. Like, what are the chances of a giant wave or a tropical storm or wherever the hell, knocking these people over.
Right. I think that, I don't know. I mean, they could have seen something that really scared them. All right, let me hit you again with another mystery. Living statues. From 1917 to 1928, 500,000 people were afflicted with a ghastly condition that could be part of a plot line for a horror film.
Perfect.
The victims, very much alive and conscious, found themselves in an inexplicably frozen state, their static bodies prisoned to their mind.
Wow.
Encephalitis lethargia, aka the sleeping sickness, first appeared in Europe and quickly spread around the world.
Wow.
Reaching epidemic levels in North America, Europe, and India by 1919. A third of those stricken with the illness died. Of the survivors, nearly half of them eventually found themselves unable to physically interact with the world around them.
Wow.
All while fully aware of their surroundings. Though occasionally capable of limited speech, eye movement, and even laughter. Generally appeared as living statues, totally motionless for hours, days, weeks, or years.
Oh my God.
The cause is unknown.
Years?
Yeah.
Weeks even.
That's,
oh my God.
I mean, that's the most, I think that that's eventually what ALS does to you.
Wow.
Like where your mind is fully there, but your body just can't compute.
Wow.
The cause is unknown, but one theory is brain inflammation triggered by a rare strain of Streptococcus, the bacteria responsible for many sore throats each year.
Wow. Strep throat.
Yeah. Scientists' best guess is the bacteria mutated, provoking the immune system to attack the brain, leaving the victim helpless.
That's crazy.
None of this explains why the illness disappeared, only to resurface sporadically. Be it in Europe in the 1950s or in China 10 years ago when a 12-year-old girl was hospitalized for 5 weeks with the disease. Are such occurrences the new normal? Or are signs of encephalitis lethargica could be planning something bigger any day?
Wow.
In 2004, analysis of 20 patients with symptoms remarkably similar concluded that whatever ailed them is still prevalent. Such history is so-called a sleeping sickness remains the stuff of nightmares.
Wow.
These crimes will never be solved.
Wow. That's so
crazy. I mean, I don't know if it's a crime.
Well, yeah, right? I don't know if it's a crime.
That's pretty... I mean, that's terrifying. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's... to be trapped in your own just mind. No. Like, just...
I would go...
It's, that sounds...
If you've never met me in person, you don't know how often I need to move. It's a constant need for me to be moving around.
Yeah, you can't stand still.
Or not being able to talk, that's my hell.
Look, the possibility of you being the only person that can decipher this next thing is actually probably higher than I want to believe. The Voynich manuscript. It is roughly a 250-page written book in an entirely unknown language or writing system. It's been carbon dated back to the 1400s and includes illustrations of plants that don't resemble any known species. It's known for the Polish book dealer who purchased it in 1912. It is believed to have been intended as a medical text. Its first confirmed owner was George Barish. He's from 1585 to 1662. That shows you how long ago this was. An alchemist from Prague who discovered it, taking up space uselessly in his library. Barish tried to investigate the manuscript's origins to no avail. The manuscripts changed hands for centuries until it was purchased by Voynich, who said that it was offered by Albertus Magnus, an alchemist, or Roger Bacon, an early scientist. However, some believe that Voynich fabricated the manuscript and its history all by himself. Various other hoaxes have been proposed over the years. Of course, that wouldn't explain the carbon dating of the paper and ink. Centuries after its first alleged discovery, the Voynich manuscript remains an impenetrable and unexplainable as ever.
That's
so just
crazy.
Someone wrote all these, like, it's almost like it was written on a different world.
Yeah.
Or a different world. Yeah, like on a different planet or something. That's
Man.
What they're saying. That's weird.
I don't think I could figure that out, babe, but I love your trust in me.
It's 250 pages. Like, who has the time to just write all that out?
I don't think that that's as many as you think.
250 pages? Oh, yeah, yes, right. Like, is it front and back?
All right. Do the Pollock sisters prove reincarnation?
Yes.
Reincarnation is so scary. Today...
Isn't it scary? I don't know. Like, sounds like, I mean,
okay.
As long as you don't do anything wrong.
Today, 24% of Americans believe in reincarnation. Although scientists tend to poo-poo the possibility, every once in a while, an unsolved mystery comes around that is so compelling and otherwise unexplainable that it gives scientists a pause. This is what we have in the story of the Pollock sisters. In 1957, two young English sisters, Joanna Pollock, 11, and Jacqueline Pollock, 6, died in a tragic car accident. 1 year later, their mother gave birth to twins, Jillian and Jennifer. When the twins were old enough to talk, they began identifying and requesting toys that had belonged to their dead sisters, pointing out landmarks only their dead sisters would have known, such as a school they had attended, and sometimes panicking upon seeing a car idling. "The car is coming to get us," they reportedly shrieked on one occasion. After the twins turned 5, these incidences became less frequent, and the girls went on to lead normal lives. Still, the story of the Pollock sisters has made its way to Dr. Ivan Stevenson, a psychologist who studied reincarnation. After believing thousands of supposed cases, Dr. Stevenson wrote a book telling of 14 he believed to be real, including that of the Pollock sisters.
Wow.
I mean, okay, I started this saying with reincarnation was scary. I was thinking of when you bring something back from the dead.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I was saying was scary. I hope, I mean, I don't really hope that reincarnation is real because, like, if I die and I come back to this earth.
As a wasp.
It's like, no, I'm just talking about being a human again. I would be like, God damn it.
Really? Again. Really, I like it here.
I know, but it's a hard out here.
It's a hard knock life.
I was going to go with, it's hard out here for a pimp.
Yeah, that's so
hard. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like once is kind of enough on this ride.
So you're not, you just want to be done.
No, I want there to be something good after we die. That's a fact.
Like you level up?
No, like just like some real cool, like groovy life that I get to live for the rest of my life.
Groovy life. Groovy, guys. It's the best. You know who didn't live a groovy life? It's the Sodder children. George and Jenny Sodder of West Virginia were forced to cope not only with an immeasurable loss of their children, but also with the mysterious circumstances surrounding that loss. After the Sodder home burned to the ground on the night before Christmas in 1945, 5 of the 10 Sodder children were still alive and accounted for. But what about the other 5? From all accounts, it would seem that they would have vanished in thin air.
Oh, man.
Notice how we don't say vanish into smoke? That's because in the ruins of the fire, 0 physical evidence of the children could be found, which is virtually impossible from a scientific standpoint. But that wasn't all that smelled off about the events of that night. Apparently, George tried to save the children, who he believed were trapped inside, by using his coal truck, which strangely was inoperable. The phone lines to the house were found to have been cut. A woman claimed to have seen all 5 missing children peering from a passing car while the fire was in progress. And a woman at a Charleston hotel who saw the children's photos in a newspaper said she had seen 4 of the 5 a week after the fire. The children were accompanied by 2 women and 2 men. I tried to talk to the children in a friendly manner, but the men appeared hostile and wouldn't allow it, she said.
Hate it.
The Sodder family theorized that the children had been kidnapped, perhaps in an attempt to extort money, perhaps to coerce George into joining the local mafia, or perhaps in retaliation for George's outspoken criticism of Mussolini and Italy's fascist government. From the 1950s until Jenny Sauter's death in the late 1980s, the Sauter family maintained a billboard on State Route 16, which pictures of the five vanished children and offering an award for information. The last known surviving Sauter child, Sylvia, 69, still doesn't believe her siblings perished in the fire.
No, I mean, it sounds clear as day to me that they were kidnapped.
Yeah, but, like, who started the fire? Like, I mean,
did they ever detect a cause of the fire starting?
Yeah, right.
And like, then also, I mean, everything...
I need more questions about the dad answer.
Yeah, like, I just have a lot of questions there. I mean, everything seems to directly respond to the fact that they were kidnapped. The phone lines were cut. The truck didn't work.
Right.
The kids were vanished. There was no sign of bones or anything in the fire. Like,
and then other people said that they saw the kids.
Right. Even outside, even not going by the eyewitnesses.
Also, why still those five?
Right. It does seem fishy.
Maybe they could only steal those five. Like, they could steal the rest.
Or maybe, yeah. And then they started the fire to, like, get ever to, like, freak out. I don't know. It seems definitely like they got kidnapped.
Mystery.
All right, what really happened to young Walter Collins?
What did happen to him?
In 2008, Clint Eastwood's film Changeling reawakened interest in one of the most bizarre and tragic crimes in the 1920s. I love this movie.
Yes.
Single mom Christine Collins reported her 9-year-old son Walter missing in March of 1928 from their home in Los Angeles. 5 months later, the police brought Walter back to Christine, except it wasn't Walter, and Christine knew it. But the LA police dismissed Christine's concerns, going as far as to accuse her of being a terrible mother and having her committed to a mental hospital. The real Walter Collins was never found, and over time, authorities came to believe he was one of the victims of a convicted child murderer, Gordon Stewart Northcott.
Wow.
Although Northcott's mother offered a confession of killing Walter. Whatever happened to Walter Collins, his body was never found, and no one ever learned what really happened. Nor has it been established with any certainty why the police were so invested in covering up the boy's disappearance that they brought a different child back to Christine and tried to convince her and the rest of the world that it was Walter.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's pretty,
That's crazy. Like, no, this is your kid.
It's only 5 months, and how old was he? 8 or something really? Like that?
Like, he changed that much.
I'm sorry, but you can't tell a mother that in 5 months her 8-year-old son changed that much.
Absolutely, no.
That's insane.
Dude, absolutely, no.
You could take my dog away, and in 5 months bring me a different dog, and I would know.
Right.
And that's not a child that I birthed.
Right, true. Yeah. She totally would know. That's crazy. That's the strangest thing to me is that the police wanted to cover that up. But I also feel like a lot of times the police just want to like shut and close files.
They just want to close a case. Like
their job is done.
Right? And because their performance is based off how many cases they've closed.
Yeah, right. Well, you've heard about Bigfoot, right?
Well, duh. We know about Bigfoot. The Yeti. Yes, but aka another Bigfoot.
This creature is seen everywhere, including Scotland.
All right.
The Big Gray Man is an inhuman creature that is said to haunt the summit and passes of the second highest peak in Scotland, Ben McAdooey. Like the Yeti of the Himalayas and Bigfoot, or also known as Sasquatch of the American Pacific Northwest, the Big Gray Man has been seen by few eyewitnesses. What makes the Big Gray Man particularly frightening is that his physical characteristics don't resemble that of a bear, and thus sightings can't be dismissed as bear sightings.
Hmm.
Those who have seen the Big Gray Man describe it as extremely tall, over 10 feet, and human-like, with short hair, broad shoulders, and long arms. Nearly all reports of sightings include the sound of gravel crunching beneath footfalls. Scientists haven't been able to come up with an explanation for the sightings and the accompanying sounds, although psychologists have proposed that those who have supposedly seen and heard the Big Gray Man have been in a state of physical and mental anguish brought on by exhaustion and/or isolation.
Hmm.
For now, the Big Gray Man's a mystery, but if you ever go to Scotland, maybe you should Tell me if you run into him.
I always say that Bigfoot is my favorite cryptid. Like, right, like, I love Sasquatch and Bigfoot stories. I was so scared. Like, that was the one cryptid I was really scared was going to come get me as a kid.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I was going camping in Arkansas.
For sure.
But yeah. I will say, I recently saw a bear stand on its back legs.
Yeah.
And it changed a lot of feelings for me about Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
It just looked exactly like you expect Bigfoot to look when you see a bear, a big bear, standing on its hind legs.
No, I get that. Except for, like, the Patterson Gimbel footage. Yes. Like, those footages. Those videos, I don't know. I mean, like, they're not, that's clearly not a bear.
Yeah, I'm not saying that all instances of, like, people saying they saw Sasquatch is that, but I have to think that it's sometimes people who think they see Sasquatch just saw a bear.
See, that's why I think I understand what you're saying about Sasquatch, but I do actually believe that maybe a little bit more about when people see the dog man.
You think it's like a wolf?
No, I think it's a bear.
Oh.
That just has mange or it's missing hair.
Oh, because, you know, like, female bears, rabid. They look, people will always say, like, you can see this at the Memphis Zoo with our pandas.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pandas, especially the female, they lose a lot of hair.
Right.
And they look really crazy, but it doesn't mean they're unhealthy. Right. It's just natural for, like, especially female bears to shed like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't see a bear often enough to really understand what a bear looks like. You know what I mean?
You're right.
I do know what it looks like, but if it had, like, a mange and stuff, I would totally think it was something different.
Right. Every time we go to East Tennessee, I'm like, praying that we see a bear, and it never happens.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
This is something I never want to see happen. The bridge at Overton that calls dogs to their maker.
Oh, wow.
The Overton Bridge near Dumbarton seems to call dogs to leap to their death. A perfect spot for unsolved mysteries. What? Since the 1960s, some 50 canines have perished, and along with hundreds more that have jumped but survived.
Wow. How high is it somewhere? It's got to be like 25 feet at least, right?
It looks very tall.
It does look tall.
And some dogs have even jumped for a second time. Oh, it's 50 feet.
50 feet.
50 wow. feet jump. And some of those dogs have jumped for twice.
Wow. Like,
the Scottish
Society. Stop putting your dog there.
Right. If you jump off that, like, do we have a leash?
Like, how many dogs have to do this before you're like, yeah, I just don't know. My dog's just not going to do it.
Yeah. The Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty of Animals has sent representatives to investigate, but to no avail.
Talk about the Rainbow Bridge.
In terms of scientific truth, it is debatable, if not incredibly unlikely, that the dogs are capable of forming an intent to die. Yet, something is luring dogs off that bridge, often in the very same spot, and often on very sunny, dry days.
Wow.
Many theories have arisen, including that the bridge is haunted. This was a popular theory after a local man threw his baby son to his death from that bridge in 1994. God. A mink is marking the dog area with an almost irresistible scent. A sound anomaly exists at the bridge that only dogs can hear. Whatever it is that's causing this phenomenon, dog owners would be wise to take heed and keep their dogs on leashes.
Wow.
Well.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. That's, like, really horrible and sad and a big ass bummer.
Right? It's sad. Like, why are they jumping?
Right. It's, yeah. I think that I've, like, it's always, like, on the same weather or, like, a similar weather.
Maybe, so, like, maybe their they don't. Depth perception makes it look like, it's, oh, this looks fun to jump
over. It's just
over.
A little wall to jump over for some reason. This wall. When the sun and the weather's just right, they can't see any reflections or something. I don't know. All right, here's another. The disappearance of Paula Jean Weldon. Paula Jean Weldon, 18, was a sophomore of Bennington College on December 1st, 1946, the day she told her roommate, Elizabeth Parker, that she was going for a long walk but failed to return. A search focused primarily on Vermont's Log Trail, a 270-mile trail that cut through Vermont to the Canadian border, where local witnesses reported to have seen her. The trail yielded no clues. However, soon what the Huntington Banner refers to as tantalizing and unquestionably strange leads began to materialize. These include claims by Massachusetts waitress that she'd served an agitated young woman matching Paula's description. Upon learning of this particular lead, Paula's father soon disappeared for 36 hours, supposedly in pursuit of the lead, but nevertheless, it was a strange move that led to him becoming a prime suspect in Paula's disappearance.
Wow, yeah, of course.
Soon, stories began circulating that Paula had not returned home for Thanksgiving the week prior, and that she may have been distraught about his disagreement with her father. For his part, Paula's father posited a theory that Paula was distraught about a boy she liked, and that perhaps the boy should have been a suspect.
Yeah.
Over the next decade, local Bennington man twice bragged to friends that he knew where Paula's body was buried. He was unable to lead the police to anybody, however, let alone Paula's. And with no evidence of a crime, no body, and no forensic clues, the case grew colder, and theories grew stronger, including those linked to paranormal. New England author and occult researcher Joseph Citro came up with the Bermuda Triangle theory, which explains the disappearances as linked with special energy that attracts outer space visitors who would have taken Paula back with them to their world.
What did I tell you?
Yeah, it's always aliens.
It's always, always aliens. Including this story. The Flanagan Isle Lighthouse Disappearances. In 1900, three keepers of the Flanagan Isle Lighthouse off the west coast of Scotland disappeared under the strangest of circumstances. The lighthouse was manned by a three-person team, Thomas Marshall, James Duquette, and Donald MacArthur, with a fourth man rotating in from the shore. On Boxing Day, December 26th of 1900, the relief keeper arrived to find none of the lighthouse keepers present. The only sign that anything was amiss was an overturned chair near the kitchen table. No bodies were ever found, which has led to endless speculation.
For real.
Theories range from drownings to abductions by foreign spies, a ghost ship, or a giant sea monster. As long as the fucking sea.
If you're close to them, sea monsters.
Fuck them sea monsters. Whatever happened back in December in 1900 at the Flanagan Isle Lighthouse, we may never know. See, that's like crazy. Like, where would these guys go? I think maybe something happened, like where a guy was drowning. He got too washed out to sea.
Right.
They try to help him.
And they all drown.
Yeah. If I'm being a party pooper and I'm trying to, like, you know,
actually. But the alien thing.
Aliens.
I mean, a lighthouse. What does that look like? A big alien come and look at me, son.
Right. And I think that story is what inspired that movie with Willem Dafoe and what's the guy from Twilight?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson. The Lighthouse.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what that movie's about. Okay. Well, you know.
Roughly.
But that kind of is a trope too, though, right? The abandoned lighthouse.
Yeah, right.
All right, so this next one might gross you out, but this definitely, it's strange.
I hate gross things.
On a spring day in 1876, a small settlement in Kentucky experienced a bizarre weather phenomenon, a downpour of meat.
Okay, hate it.
Two men who were brave enough to eat the fallen flesh
stupid.
Described it as tasting like mutton or venison. Buttons, okay. Like,
that tastes
goat
good.
Or whatever.
Deer tastes good.
But still, you're.
Like, I'm not.
How is deer meat
shit.
Falling from the sky?
Hell no.
Several explanations have been put forward for the mysterious weather. Most notably, the theory that the meat was vomited up by buzzards.
That just took my breath away.
Don't vomit in your mouth, right? Like.
Okay.
But the best part, though. I really need to know the mystery of that story is, did those guys cook it? Or did they just eat the straight raw sky meat?
If they did that, they're literally wild animal human
beings.
Yeah,
they're wild.
Because
all Billy and Bobby, they out there just eating
the
goddamn meat.
It's raining meat.
It's raining meat, my friends and bitch. It's is rain to me. Was it 1876? That's great. Like the,
they had fire back then.
Aliens.
You can all, you can explain it all. That's what they did with those cows that they abduct.
Yeah, they kill them and then they fed them because they were going to fatten up the people. And then they come back and they eat the people. That's the part of the story they don't tell you.
Right.
Is that they came back and killed and ate all those people in that village. There you go.
Did you just make that up?
I did. Just talking to them.
Okay.
It scared the shit out of you. The aliens, they come back. They came back. They ain't talking about that.
Hey, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I'm a chick.
Alright, forgive me for like the name pronunciation.
Oh, you're forgiven.
But Tarzina Zawada.
Can we just call her Carla?
We'll just call her Kat.
Okay.
She was a Polish college student, and thus most of the information is in Polish.
Okay.
There's not much information on her available in English, which is honestly a surprise given the details of the case.
Wow.
She went missing in November of 1998. Then on January 7th of 1999, something got caught in a tugboat's propeller, so the operator stopped to try to untangle it. He found something he described as a pale and nondescript with a really foul smell, and he couldn't tell what it was. And then he noticed an ear.
Oh, God.
He didn't find her body. He found her skin.
Even worse.
It had been neatly cut off her body around the thighs and neck, missing her arms and face, though still including her left ear. Investigators determined it had been in the river for 2 or 3 weeks by that point, and that it had been prepared to be worn like a suit. The rest of her body was never found, aside from a leg found floating near a dam. That's exactly like what was Wild Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Like, where, or Ed Gein, right? Wearing the skin.
Right. That's horrifying. Like, that's such a bad way to go.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, you're killed and then you're skinned.
All right. If you know, you might not know this about me, but I am a closet wrestling fan. So this is a really good mystery. Chris Benoit, strange Wikipedia page edit and murder-suicide. Chris Benoit was a pro wrestler who murdered his wife and child in their home before committing suicide 14 hours before this was discovered. A Wikipedia article noted that he would be replaced by another wrestler in a match due to personal issues, including the death of his wife.
Wow.
The article originally read, Chris Benoit was replaced by Johnny Nitro for the ECW World Championship match at Vengeance, as Benoit was not there due to personal issues stemming from the death of his wife, Nancy.
Wow.
The phrase stemming of the death of his wife, Nancy, was added at 12:01 a.m. on June 25th. Whereas the Fayette County Police reportedly discovered the bodies of the Benoit family at 12:30 p.m., 14 hours and 29 minutes later. However, Chris himself didn't edit the page. The police traced his edit back to Stanford, where the WWE headquarters is located.
Wow. Oh, my God.
There are other strange things in this case, too. Like the bottles of alcohol and steroid needles littered around the scene, but no alcohol or steroids being in Chris's body. Or that Chris had been paranoid that someone was following him in the weeks leading up to the murder and had repeatedly texted one of his closest friends his address, despite the fact that he came over regularly to visit and knew where he lived in the moments up to the murder.
The thing for me is also, they traced it back to WWE headquarters.
Right.
The email, right? Or where?
No, the location.
The location
is where the WWE headquarters is located. The same city.
And so, but I'm still saying, like, so someone updated the Wikipedia page from there, right?
Right.
And 14 hours prior to their bodies being discovered.
Right. Something.
And the fact that he like would had been telling close friends and family, like there's more details to the story, obviously, but The fact that he'd been telling friends and family that he thought people were watching him and outside their home and stuff.
Let me say this one thing that kind of answers that question a little bit, and it's something that I think is very important in the Chris Benoit case, is the CTE, mm-hmm. or like the brain injuries from all of the constant wrestling.
Right.
And that can lead to like paranoia and things like that. So I've always like thought that was also interesting about the Chris Benoit case.
But yeah, but the fact that we know what we know now about Vince McMahon and like he doesn't just play a skeezy scumbag. He actually is one.
Right.
Murder for Hire doesn't really surprise me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm really like...
I mean, it's not... I mean, he paid a lot of money to just girls to not talk about having sex with him. Like, right.
I mean, but... And also, like, there's that tie-in with Chris Benoit and Eddie...
Guerrero. And Eddie Guerrero died first, right?
Right.
And that really messed with Chris Benoit.
Yeah, and, you know, there's mysteries behind Eddie Guerrero.
All right. You know? Let's not get on a wrestling podcast.
Again, there's so many mysteries. These are just a few that we can possibly cover, right?
There's also, I do want to recommend a great documentary about the Chris Benoit. I think there was a Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes,
Dark Side of the Ring. And it talks about the Chris Benoit case in detail. And it's so, yeah, they're all so good. All right, I have one more mystery for you.
All right, here we go.
The Silent Twins. Hmm. Two twins. They only spoke to each other. They only spoke to each other in a language that they created. They also tried to kill each other on occasion.
Wow.
They were committed, where they both eventually decided that in order to live a normal life, one of them would have to die.
What are you, rock, paper, scissors at? What the fuck?
So they decided which one of them would die, and then she did. Oh, of heart failure.
Damn.
Inflammation of the heart, to be exact.
Wow.
The other went on to live a perfectly normal life.
Wow.
Like it's not so much an unsolved mystery as it is a what the fuck is all of this? Right. Like, that's crazy just to think, like, they obviously had some torment in the womb together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, I just, as people, we just don't fully understand hormones or chemical imbalances, right, or anything. You know, like, I think we're just on the cusp of actually understanding things like that. I mean, just.
Twins are so fascinating in a way, though.
Oh, yeah.
So to think, like, twins that hate each other, that's... Yeah. And that they said, all right, one of us has to die. It's going to have to be you, Carol.
It reminds me of that Edward Mondrake character that had the...
Yes.
I mean, that's a real true story.
That's like a Voldemort, you know, on Harry Potter. We've talked about that. Like, it's similar to that. I think also they did something like that on American Horror Story Freak Show.
Right, right. Well, there you go. There's our mysteries. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Those are some good ones.
Yeah. You know, clearly there's so many more that we could talk about.
Like, it never endlessly, ends.
Right?
And, you know, if it's already been on Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, why do we need to talk about it? We've all seen that.
Yeah, like.
We're really trying to show you some different mysteries.
But I would love to hear from anyone that has, some mysteries of their own. From your own hometown or, even in your family.
I have a mystery right now.
You want to tell us?
Should we tell the new neighbors about the murder that happened in their house? God.
Yeah, the murder house next door.
We've talked about that on here. If you've never heard, there was a murder next door to us. It's been a true crime in our true life, and I'm fascinated.
But that's kind of like a little bit what's inspired us for this season. Not only the fact that we've had people like ask us about when we're gonna have. When we're going to come up with new episodes, but true stories.
Right.
True creepy stories.
Exactly.
So I think this season we're going to keep that theme. Just every episode we're just going to talk about true stories.
Right.
And maybe even like movies that are inspired by those true stories.
I love that.
Horror movies.
That's the worst kind of horror movie, when you get that little based upon true events or whatever warning at the beginning. You're like, damn it.
Right, that's what got me so much with like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh gosh.
Or the Blair Witch, just thinking that this is a true story, like, is creepy.
You know that iconic scene of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre where she's running out the door and he grabs her?
Yeah.
You know, That, as a child, I walked into the room of my dad watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and that is the exact scene it was on.
Wow.
And that might be some childhood trauma on why I'm scared of horror movies.
Well, that'll do it, I think.
Getting down to important things here on Haunted Days.
Oh, yeah. Childhood traumas. New segment.
Oh, no.
Well, speaking of segments, you know we can't let it go, and we got to bring it back.
Oh, yeah. It's time for verses.
It's the secret box.
Yes. Look, gotta shake it around.
It's
never left us.
It's always been around.
Yeah.
Since, like I said, we're going to keep this season about true stories, the secret box is filled with fictional horror characters. Like, you know, the ones we all know and love.
Yeah, so we're gonna...
We're gonna pit them against each other this season.
I'm curious to see who our first two to go at it are.
Let's do it.
Alright, I've drew it out of the box.
Like always, we take one scary thing and we put it up against another scary thing. And we decide which one we think is scarier.
Alright. We're starting off real strong.
Right.
And it actually is kind of crazy. Leatherface versus Michael Myers.
Wow, you're just talking about Leatherface versus Michael Myers?
Yeah.
Which one is scarier?
Man,
damn.
That's hard. Pretty hard. All right, let's go through some things with Leatherface. Chainsaw.
Backwoods. Incest. Inbred.
Dirty. Cow. Butcher shop.
Yeah.
Like
slow deaths.
Yeah. Hanging from hooks.
He like cuts your face off and
Yeah. That's the worst, real bad.
Like Michael just got his mask from
Hold on. We need to go we can't talk bad about Michael before we go through his scary things. Okay. So let's go through some of Michael's.
Okay.
A knife, getting stabbed to death with a knife is pretty scary.
Yeah. Just how creepily, like, he can be silent.
He doesn't seem to die.
Yeah, nothing can really kill him, it doesn't seem. I don't believe he can't be killed. I just believe that he has that, there's, like, a disease where, like, you don't have feeling.
Like pain. Yeah, like, you literally don't feel pain.
Which would make sense why he doesn't have emotion.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah, you can. I could see how that could go together.
You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't feel pain, therefore he doesn't have an emotion, and for some reason he like hates everyone in his family. Maybe because he is that way. He blames his family for being born right. That way.
You know, he's relentless, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and the fact that he... Yeah, that's crazy right there. Just as a...
Yeah.
He'll hunt you down for years.
40, 50 years. He's still on that bitch's ass.
I can't wait for the new Halloween.
All right, we can't get too distracted. All right.
All right, so which one's scarier, though?
All right.
I mean, that's a tough one because we're not judging what movies are better.
No, we can't bring it into that.
Which also is a tough one.
That can't even... I know where my heart lies on that, and I think your
overall,
heart lies on a different...
Overall, when it comes to movies, I'm going to lean Halloween movies.
Oh, good. Me too.
The original...
Yes. The 1970...
Yeah.
Halloween.
I'm talking about the original...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And the remake are fantastic.
Yes.
But overall, like, Halloween, like, pretty much all of them are pretty good. Like, there's some stupid, like, H2O is kind of goofy. Resurrection's goofy.
I don't count on that.
But I'm saying overall, the Halloween movies are pretty good.
Yes. I have to say, I think I've made my decision.
I'm going Leatherface.
Me too.
Yeah. It's scarier, dude.
It is scarier.
Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Backwoods. Incest.
Butchers. All the things we said. But
cutting your face off and wearing it.
That's what I think tips the scale.
Yeah, it really does.
Because, like...
brutal.
Michael, at least, you know, he just seems to just kill you. Get the fuck out of
just
my way.
Out of your way, just...
I'm gutting your ass right...
And he doesn't always, you know, cut you. Like, sometimes he'll crush your throat or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or any means necessary kills people. He is a very singular path
individual. Yes. I'm telling you, Mike is relentless.
Yeah.
But Michael Myers is my favorite slasher.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to go against him, but I have to say if one was hunting me down, one or the other, I would rather Michael hunt me down than Leatherface.
Yeah, Leatherface.
That as soon as I hear that, pee in my pants.
Yeah. It's so scary.
Yeah.
The chainsaw really, just the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
That's so, like, when they put that, you know, just that title together, it's like perfect.
Right.
It's like, this is totally going to be scary.
It's the shock value of the original, yeah. especially. Like, it's just so...
Oh, God, he's so scary. Just
right.
wearing your face, and yeah.
And I do love the Jessica Biel one. It's
oh, yeah,
great.
The remake? It's yeah. great. I love it. I know there's some people that hate it, but, you know...
I like that newer one. That's seemed all right.
You know, that's definitely going to be in our October movies.
Oh, well,
our
that's
October Scary Movie-thon.
Yeah, we're... Don't forget to follow us on social media. You're going to see all of our... We're going to post it every week, what our movies are for the
yeah,
week.
Keep up with what movies we're watching each night. Interact with us. We would love to hear from you. And as always, you can email us at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, and you can always find us on Facebook and Instagram at Haunted Haze Podcast. So send us a message and tell us your movie suggestions. And then tell us, who do you think is scarier?
Yeah, Leatherface or Michael.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Persuade us. I mean, Michael's not scary.
You can persuade us if with some good facts on
yeah,
Michael.
I mean, Michael's, he's got a
picture. I'm not that firm in my decision. I'm just gut instinct is telling me Leatherface is scarier.
Yeah, overall Leatherface, I'm going. But Michael's scary as fuck because his kill count is almost up there with Jason's.
Jason is... Who's higher? I think Jason's the highest.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, so
and
funny.
I think that Jason is the highest by a long shot.
Yeah.
I think that Leatherface is actually... Leatherface's kill count's only like 9 or something like that.
No, it's more than that, for sure. But, yeah.
I just recently looked at that chart like this week, but I can't compute the data. But yeah, it's scary.
Again, this is why we're doing this. We love to hear from you guys. Like, please, if you've... you know, come up with the podcast, or if you're brand new, if you're just now finding the podcast,
right?
Please reach out to us.
We want to hear your scary stories.
We want to hear your scary thoughts.
Yeah. Oh God, no. We don't want that.
All right,
we don't want to hear your scary thoughts.
We don't want to hear all your scary thoughts.
But we do want to hear your scary stories.
Yeah.
But keep it at that. Keep your problems to yourself.
Well, before we get out of here, you want to ask one final terrifying question?
Yes. All right, one final terror question. Which of the following is not a monster in the underground bestiary in the cabin in the woods? A zombie, a ninja, a unicorn, or a merman?
A ninja.
Correct.
Yeah. I love that movie.
That's going to be on our list.
That's definitely on our list.
And that's the thing is we have about 85 movies that are definitely on our list in 30 days to watch them.
31 days.
Oh, 31,
of course.
Well,
that's true. I guess we know what we're watching on Halloween.
Well, we'll save that.
Yes. Keep up with us on social media. Thank you for following us. Thank you for listening to us. Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're excited to do this. Like we said, this season, we're going to focus more on the real.
Yeah, for sure.
Real, true, scary stories. Based on a true story. I love it.
It scares me, to be honest.
Yeah?
I don't like based on true stories so
sometimes
much.
Sometimes when you hear like some of these true stories, you're like, wow, that's way more intense than I thought it was going to
well,
be.
Well, like that girl getting her skin cut off, that did it for me. But also, whenever
life
I'm...
is intense.
Waking you up to come walk across the house with me in the dark at night. Don't be mad.
Oh, yeah? Welcome back. You wanted to get
I've
back
been sheltered.
This. Yeah.
Here yeah. we go we again got, with the spookies.
That's when we got the Palo Santo and the sage and the crystals.
Yeah. We're
we
setting
got the candle.
The
vibe. We got the vibe. We hope you guys got the vibe. And we hope you guys had a good time. And we hope that you'll return next week.
See you later. Peace out.
And as always, stay haunted.